Turning now to President Obama and claims he made about his own policies, specifically about jobs in the new energy sector. Last night, he said this.
If we are only thinking about tomorrow or the next day and not thinking about 10 years from now, we're not going to control our own economic future. Because China, Germany, they're making these investments. And I'm not going to cede those jobs of the future to those countries. I expect those new energy sources to be built right here in the United States.
And in fact, the Obama administration invested government dollars into new energy startups, including the Waltham-based lithium-ion battery maker A123 Systems. The company was awarded almost $250 million in stimulus funds to build a new plant in Michigan. But yesterday, A123 filed for bankruptcy. Joining us now from Washington is Michel DiCapua. He's head of U.S. analysis for Bloomberg New Energy Finance, a market research firm. Michel DiCapua, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, very happy to be here.
So A123 joins the likes of Solyndra, Enerdel, Abound Solar. They were all once hopeful new energy startups. What went wrong in the case of A123?
You have to recognize that in the case of A123, as with these other companies, these are companies that are in some cases participating in markets that are generally oversupplied. And as a result, these are the companies that are operating in this space just have a very difficult time keeping prices aloft and basically kind of keeping the profitability margins.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but they're oversupplied, even though this is a relatively new sector, oversupplied from where? From China?
That's right. I mean, so there's some level of oversupply coming from Asian companies. The same thing that kind of happened in the electric vehicle battery space is what's happened in the solar space. Just there's general kind of global oversupply, too much capacity relative to the demand. The demand levels haven't yet met what the expectations were for electric vehicle sales, for example. So electric vehicle sales would have been an important source of demand for those batteries.
For A123. Okay, so yeah. The political criticism of the Obama administration's, seeking to even invest in companies like A123 is that, essentially they were trying to play venture capitalist, and that's not a place that the government should be. But overall, when it comes to government transferring dollars to companies in these new spaces, what is the Obama administration's track record?
Yeah, this is an important question to note. I mean, I think the rhetoric that's kind of largely repeated, which is an important one to bear in mind, is that to the extent that the government is playing a venture capital-like game, it's important to recognize that in many cases you're not going to be able to have all the victories that you want. There's going to be some losses in the portfolio. Obviously, when that comes at the expense of the American taxpayers, there's some stigma associated with that. But when you look at the record in total, so far the Department of Energy has kind of done its calculations. When you look at the record in total, you look at total government dollars that have been allocated as part of this kind of U.S. government generosity to clean energy companies, the failure rate is on the order of a couple of percent, no more than that. And so it's some of these high-profile cases that have kind of really grabbed the spotlight and turned a lot of attention. There is one more very important point to make about A123, however. So what it shares in common with these other failures is that it's been operating in kind of very competitive market without sufficient demand. But the other important point to make about A123 is that it just ran into a case of what could be seen as bad luck. Specifically, one of its major customers was receiving the batteries from A123, and there was a case of faulty batteries. So there's a very expensive replacement campaign for those batteries, and that's really the major issue that brought A123 down.
Hmm. Interesting. If we could take a step back for a moment, Michel. I mean, we heard a little earlier that tape from President Obama who said that he wants new energy sources to be built right here in the United States. He sees it as a jobs issue, but also, moreover, as basically the United States, he wishes it will become a leader in these new markets. I mean, to get back to that criticism, the criticism of that is that by throwing money at the companies, by playing venture capitalists, maybe that's not the best way for government to have an effect on these markets. Why is it that governments keep going back to using that direct funding, whereas there's other things that can be done, say, in terms of regulation that maybe they don't pursue?
That's right. There are other things that the government can do. Bear in mind, however, that when you talk about growing new companies, it is in some cases a painful business, and there's some cases where there's a gap of kind of potential funding that might arise from the venture capital market, and really the government is potentially the only source that can fill that gap. But you're right that there is many, many ways that the government can try to pull on levers to support an industry. And if you are an advocate of the clean energy industry, you really have to, in some ways, say that the Obama administration has done in many ways as much as it can to support the industry. So it has offered up these loan guarantees and these cash grants, which we've been talking about. But it's also, for example, created a stimulus program to fund smart grid spending. It's put in place fuel economy standards. It's kind of helped support tax credits that have supported the wind and solar industries. So it has pulled on many, many levers, as many levers as possibly can. And then there's some potential cases where it runs into some market failures.
Michel DeCapua is head of U.S. analysis for Bloomberg New Energy Finance. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, Harvard fellow Sam Arbisman tells us why everything we know has an expiration date. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.